The back door of the church is also a very interesting thing, and part of the structure, the way the church is designed. The church had an evangelist come to the church, and they were having a good revival, and it was going on and going on, and the evangelist went a little long. Now, I never go long in my messages, but this particular evangelist was going a little long. And he kept saying, I'm going to close with this, and then he'd go on. And I'm going to close with this, and he'd go on and on. One of the gentlemen in the back got up and headed toward the back door. Evangelist said, sir, wait a minute. I am truly almost done. I got a couple more points and I'm done. He said, no, I'm gone. He said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go get a haircut. He said, a haircut? Yeah. Why? Because I didn't need one when I got in here. Didn't he? He was here long enough that his hair, okay, well, so good. But the back doors are very important. And I, as a preacher and many preachers, we like to go to the back door and greet people when they go out. And we do that. So it's a very important part, the back door. But some churches, like ours, have a side door. And sometimes when I'm at the back door and I'm talking to people and different things and people want to get out of here, they'll sneak out the side door to get away from all of that. Well, the back door sometimes can be a notorious place for sneaking out, and I understand that too, because every once in a while I'll call some of you and say, I didn't get a chance to see you when you were gone, and well, I had to go here or there and get my medicine or whatever. So, but any kind of situations like that, there's a lot of suspense movies. And everyone's greatest fear, I think, is somebody sneaking in the back door. Now, the reason that we locked the front door at 11:05, if you remember, not too long ago, there was a lot of church shootings. And we have some retired firefighters, retired police officers, and they know what to do if we get that way. But in order to be a little safe, we lock the back door, and then they say, you know, come into the side door. Well, I can see people coming up there. And if something was going to happen, it sort of just gives us a little bit of a buffer. But people, in general, a lot of crooks out there, they like to break into things. Jimmy down locked doors, hack into and break in and steal. Sometimes they use a screwdriver or something like that to enter a house, knocking on the front door. Now, we have these Ring doorbells now that you can see what's out there. And we got little peepholes in our doors at home. So the back door and the front door is made for people to honor the going out and the coming in. We don't want the thieves to come in. And I read that scripture a while ago in John 10, and Jesus says, point, if someone is sneaking into the sheepfold, it's someone who wants to cause mayhem or cause the harm to the sheep, if you would. A friend of the sheep, namely the shepherd, will always enter through the front gate. Now, practical and wise insight, sure, but Jesus is not telling his disciples this to ensure the security of their homes and their animals. This is not shepherding class 101. He's using the example metaphorically of the people of Israel, God's hapless sheep throughout all of the scriptures, and us modern day Gentiles. Some have been misled by some pretty unsavory characters in the past, and in the present even, in fact, throughout the Hebrew scriptures, and now in Jesus' time, the shepherds, the kings, the priests, the Pharisees, and other leaders have often caused God's people harm rather than protecting them and guarding them and guiding them towards God and showing them the right way to follow faithfully. They led them astray. We have people in our day and time that has a tendency to do that too, and that's why Jesus always said to test the spirit and make sure it's of me. They poisoned their living water, if you would. They tell untruths. They oppress them, and they trap them, and they just left them to wander without a leader or a shepherd. Some people have been hoodwinked by these who were taught to trust. And here we have the prophet Isaiah, among others, assuring Israel that God would shepherd his aimless and unknowing people and care for them. Now Jesus, known as the Good Shepherd, will lay down his life for his sheep and protect them, call them, feed them, and now hear this, they lead them out to pasture. Why? When you go to Israel or some of the other countries, now we have a lot of people now raising sheep, you'll see the shepherd walking ahead of the sheep, and they will follow him because they trust him wherever he leads them. The reason they do that is sheep got to eat. A sheep got to breathe. And a sheep needs a little bit of exercise for those playful limbs. Oh yeah, sheep need to come in for protection at night though. Can't leave them out there in the field all night long to sleep and be protected by the stone walls of the fold and the warmth of their companions. They don't have stoves or fireplaces in these places, in the animals. Did you ever go in a barn where milk cows are in the barn? Well, not so much in our area, but in Pennsylvania up north. It's nice and warm and cozy in there because they have the cows in there. And the heat and the breath from the cows make it all nice and toasty warm in there. So they need each other. And by day, they need to roam the pastures and eat freely and drink water and run and have fun, explore and play and be watched over by the shepherd. To eat without being eaten is a good thing. Now that's a stress-free sheep's dream. But that's what the shepherd does. He wants them to be free, and he doesn't want them trapped inside every day and all the days. Even the best of sheep get tired of being around each other, and they need a safe way to explore a dangerous world. They need a shepherd they can trust. They follow their trustworthy shepherd because they know his voice. They can discern his call from those who are seeking to harm them. How? He calls them to the front door and bids them open. He's got the key to their heart, so to speak. They trust him because they know him. Excuse me, he protects them even while providing them freedom. We are all like sheep. He protects them. He pastures them. That's where we get the word pasturing. A lot of times they refer to a pastor of the church as the shepherd of the church. He protects them and pastures them while providing them freedom from the pen. They don't need to stay inside those stone walls with the shepherd to feel protected. Jesus, the good shepherd, will protect them within the pasture out in the wide, wide world because he's attentive to them and he watches over them and he doesn't forget them. He won't take his eyes off of them, and they know it. Now, Jesus allows us, his people, to truly live in an unfettered, unobstructed way, even while feeling safe and secure in his care. Now, that's a shepherd to depend on. No one wants to stay trapped inside in fear, afraid to truly live in the world as part of a community, taking part of every adventure that we can and dare to engage in. And no one wants to stay in their house when the sun's shining and the grass is green. This is why Jesus is so unique. This is why Scripture is so important. That gives us not only a physical feeling, but spiritual feeling. He calls them by name and he leads them out. Why do we need to follow him out, he being Jesus or the Good Shepherd? Because life happens in the pasture, not in the pen. Life happens. challenges happens out in the world. Think about this. Life happens in the pasture, not in the pen. Repeat that with me if you can. Life happens in the pasture, not in the pen. I think most of us know that's right. If you're hiding in your house for fear of the world, or if your church is hiding behind the walls, afraid of its community, no relationships will be found, no mission carried out. But not only that, what stays in one place without fresh air and light and community and activity will become stagnant, and the frightening will begin. This is why Jesus doesn't stand guard at the gate. These are all kinds of reasons not to leave the sheep in the pen. Sheep can get into all kinds of trouble and bedlam when entrapped too long in the pen. Imagine how we would feel struck with the same people in one room if we were stuck there in one room for days upon days upon days. All kinds of disorder can happen. Grouchiness, for one. Orneriness. I don't know if you know any ornery people, but I know a few. And I wouldn't want to be in a locker room with them for days and days and days. So then what you do, then you throw in a marauder or a troublemaker into the mix, some backdoor intruder. You'll get stressed out, anxious sheep to deal with, who, while normally docile sheep are and know where they can flee, can suddenly turn into difficult, panicky, aggressive animals lashing out and causing pandemonium in the pen. Jesus is not going to let that happen. Only inexperienced, lazy, irresponsible shepherds take the easy way out. They sleep on the job, or they leave the sheep in the pen so they don't need to watch them constantly out in the fields. The responsible shepherd leaves them out so they can eat without fear and escape the confines of their pen. We don't need sheep with cabin fever, that's for sure. So Jesus provides safety, protection, even while providing freedom. We've come into this world and they have given us a free will, and that's a wonderful thing. Thank you, God. But Jesus encourages us to go out into the world, to leave the confines of our safe lives and our safe buildings and homes and status quo, and to follow him into the vast pastures of adventure, discipleship, knowing that he is watching over us, protecting us, and keeping us from harm as we go. That's why Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Now, he's not here shepherding us in the physical realm like he was with the original disciples, but he said, when I go home to be with the Father, I'm going to send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit. The one that comes alongside, the paraclete, the one that watches over us and helps us and guides us when we feel like we need to go astray. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, your good and trustworthy shepherd, is the one who enters in through the front door. No agendas, no side hustles, no sneaking around, no mind games. The devil can play mind games on you, but not the Holy Spirit. Your good and trustworthy shepherd is the one who doesn't let you languish in the sheepfold, but calls you out into the wide green pasture to make sure that you're properly nourished, socialized, integrated into the world, and more important, free. He does not allow you to wallow in deception, disagreements, disillusionments, but sets you up following him into new places and adventures where you will find joy, grow and learn and thrive. When you learn to live in the community and harmony, where you make relationships and trustworthiness of the shepherd is the one who knows that life happens in the pastures, not in the pen. But he will never let you alone. He will protect you and guide you and never leave you. Jesus promised us that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, Jesus is not here, preacher, and if it isn't long enough, he said he was going to send one greater, the one who comes alongside. He had never left his sheep. You know him by his voice, and you can learn to listen to God and know that voice, the one who hears your heart, one who comes to him when he calls. We follow. Where he leads, I will follow. I love that hymn. He's the one who represents the gateway to a better life, a better future, a better world, and more importantly, a better you and me. So to hear Jesus' voice is to be in tune to his presence all around us, in our home, in our church, in our community, in our life. Unlike those backdoor charlatans, he is the voice of hope. He is the voice of peace. He is the voice of the future. He, more importantly, is the voice of love. Agape love. Unconditional love. Now, many of you might have seen this picture, and it always fascinates me. And I still don't remember who painted it. Maybe a guy by the name of Stalin. I don't remember. But it's just a picture of Jesus and a door in a garden. And Jesus is knocking. Interestingly, there's a doorknob on the inside of the door, but there is no doorknob on the outside of the door. And there Jesus is knocking. How can he get in? There's no doorknob. But there is a doorknob on the inside. I think that's one of the reasons that painting is so unique, that the artist had painted no doorknob on the front of the door. If we look closely, as I mentioned, the doorknob on the front is missing. Doorknob on the inside, not the front. Why? Because when someone knocks at your front door or rings your doorbell, you still must answer it. And you let that person in, maybe. Or maybe you may listen for a voice that you recognize or peer through the keyhole or look at one of those doorbell cameras. But you must ultimately answer the door. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, there's a scripture that just, I don't know, I just think about that scripture over and over and over again. Listen, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into their house and eat with them, and they will eat with me. That's Jesus saying, I'm standing at the door of your heart, knocking. And if you hear my voice, open the door. I want to have fellowship with you. Because Jesus will never enter the sheepfold of your heart, forcibly. He will never force himself upon you like his predecessors before him. He will, however, call to you, hoping you will answer, so that you can be, he can be your shepherd and you can be his sheep. We have a choice whether or not we want to answer that call. That's why we call it a personal relationship. You don't have to answer the door. You don't have to open up and let him in. But I can tell you, if you don't, you will be a sheep that's afraid of everything in the world. Do you really want to stay in a crowded pen without a shepherd? I don't think any of us do. Do we really want to risk what happens when somebody or something sneaks in the back door instead? Do we want to take a chance, a big chance, in this wide, wide world that we live in without guidance? Do you want to go aimlessly through your life without direction, hope, and more important, purpose? God has given every one of us an assignment. That's why we all have different gifts and graces. In my humble opinion, I don't think God will ever call us home from this world until we complete what he has for us to do. It's a purpose in life. Your shepherd, my shepherd, your good shepherd is at the door of our hearts, always knocking, calling you to come be with him. So my challenge for all of us, and you never know, you never want to assume, and I never want to browbeat anybody, but I always would like to share that good news, not to convince you of something, but to give you information that you can make these important decisions for yourself. Not like years ago when they had the anxious bench up here, and the old-timey evangelists would bring people up that they were pretty well sure didn't know the Lord, and they put them on that front bench and preach to them for hours and hours, and they would get anxious, and finally they come to the altar. We just want to be able to give the sheep enough information for them to make their own decision. So my prayer for all of us is that we continue to keep that door open and continue to follow the one who leads us in grace and love. Thank you, Holy Spirit.